Seven the beat.
Inside of Drive at 5, Rob, the next guest, man.
Uh-huh.
It's because of her that we did the press release last week, because of just listening to her and evaluating ourselves and listening to the content. This is the video from Rose Clemente, former vice president candidate for the Green Party and hip-hop activist, been doing this for a long time, man. And this is her YouTube video, thousands of views. And it is from her exposure about the content in the Rick Ross song that led me to have a conversation with staff, conversation with you, music director, and led to our actions.
Yes.
People know that we always took a hard stance on rape.
Yes.
We got some unsolved rape cases in our own city that we run PSAs about.
Yes.
Young girl raped at the bus stop, what, 8, 9 years old?
Yes, at the time.
We run that PSA all the time, reminding people that that case is not solved. It's because of the work of Rose Clemente. Here's the video from her.
Peace, everyone. My name is Rose Clemente. I'm a hip-hop activist and a journalist. And in 2008, I ran on the Green Party ticket with Cynthia McKinney as the vice presidential nominee. So that is the brilliant Rick Ross in all his glory. Not only has he been problematic for years, but if you didn't hear that, let me just kind of go back to my computer real quick. And the line goes, put Molly all in her champagne. She didn't even know it. I took her home and I enjoyed that, and she didn't even know it. And the artist that he's dropping this lyric on, album, the artist is named Rocco. And obviously everybody should know that Rick Ross is with Def Jam. And this is disgusting, to say the least. This lyric is obviously promoting rape, not just date rape, but rape and rape culture and violence against women. We live in a society that by the time African American women and Latina women are 18, almost half of them, 44%, have been sexually abused. And although we are coming out strong as women and some men against the violence in this society, particularly because this is a hip-hop rapper, this is problematic for the hip-hop community. A community about peace and love that is often permeated by the worst rap recorded artists who perform and are obviously performing just for money and are saying things that are detrimental to our community. And not only us in hip hop do we stand up against this, but we really need the men in hip-hop culture. Those particular rappers, particularly those that are revolutionary in spirit and mind, and the pioneers of the culture and the elders, we need the men to say enough is enough. Women always push back, and increasingly brothers have been stepping up. But we now need men, real men, to stand up and say no to violence against women, say no to rape culture, say no to rape. And that's how we begin to particularly influence the young people, particularly boys that will be listening to this as almost a how-to guide to rape a woman. You know, so I really hope that, I know people are going to do things. People are going to be on Facebook. People are going to obviously tweet about this. People are going to write articles. People might even want to start a petition and do something around Def Jam or this artist Rocco, or see how we can hurt Rick Ross financially. But the bigger picture here is that we have to stop violence against women, and we have to do new things. And part of doing new things is for men to accept responsibility. I believe if there are brothers who are listening to this that enjoy hip hop at any level, that it is your responsibility to say something. If you don't say something, I'm really questioning Are you a real man? Where is your manhood and where is your humanity? So hit me up. Let me know what you think. Facebook, Twitter. Let's have a conversation about it. But let's do something about this. And let's end this violence against women culture in this country as soon as we can.
Peace there you out. Go. Rosé Clemente, we got you on the phone line. Rosé, how you doing there?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's always awesome to have you on radio. Thank you for that awareness. It is because of you that I became aware of the content. And it was your challenge to us, the men in the culture, to do our part. And I didn't expect this thing to go international, but I was trying to speak to the people in the industry. So we sent it over to Rap Rehab. And it's kind of like it just went viral. But I appreciate your awareness because you was the first person I saw who spoke out on this thing.
Well, no, I mean, you know, I think it's a really big step when a radio station does the right thing. And, of course, people can argue artists and censorship. And, you know, my experience is that there are many great artists that are always censored and never get on commercial radio. I mean, just Detroit, I mean, Michigan alone, I mean, and what the city of Detroit particularly has produced, like, you know, one of my favorite artists of all time is Invincible from Detroit. And, you know, it's a sister you are never going to hear on mainstream commercial radio. And, you know, the challenge is not just attacking what I call the rap industrial complex. The challenge is also how we teach young boys that how not to rape in a culture that is really pushing them towards thinking that this is all right, that this is just part of the norm. A lot of this is becoming normative culture to young people, and that's, you know, requires a big intervention from a culture that's really started to uplift young people, especially young people of color, poor working class people. You know, so I'm just really appreciating that you guys took that step and probably the only station in the country that's done that so far.
Wow. Rosé Clemente on the phone line. Rosé, you said the men step up. Where are the men? Are you seeing men step up? I know Rap Rehab, Paul Porter's been, he's been fighting along the side with you. Are you seeing other men step up in the industry?
Well, no, but for me, I'm talking about men who love and engage in the culture of hip-hop, whether they're artists, whether they're b-boys, whether they're graph artists, whether they're academics who teach hip-hop, and just young people who are part of that culture and also are consumers of the culture. You know, personally for me, I'm no longer interested in fighting the music industry. That's not like where I put all my energy, because I believe that the music industry, like anything in America, has commodified culture to the point where its goal is just to sell. So whatever they're going to put out there and market is what sells. Though I appreciate people who put their energy towards that, because I think what this thing against Rick Ross, it's not something new. It's not like there haven't been hip-hop feminists since the day Dr. Dre beat up Dee Dee Barnes almost 25 years ago, punched her in the face because he didn't like what she had to say, right? And
right.
As recently as 18 months ago, we had the same issue with Too Short. And then there's rape lyrics all within rap music as well. Odd Future, Tyler, the Creator. I think that Rick Ross was the tipping point, because he is such a high-profile, high-selling artist, because his background has always been suspect to a lot of people. And people have been wondering, how did this former correctional officer create this entire persona and is getting million-dollar record deals? Like, why him and why not someone like Invincible or Rebel Diaz or Dead Prez or Immortal Technique or even Talib? Or artists like Mos Def that I think fall under what I like to say that conscious banner of music. Not saying that people don't have contradictions. Artists always have contradictions. America itself is a contradictory place.
Right.
But my energy is really, what are we teaching young people? Right? Like, again, how do we teach young people the culture that they're growing up with? I don't personally think Jimmy Iovine or L.A. Reid or Interscope Records or Dead Jam Recording or even at some extent Russell Simmons, I don't really think they care. Because, see, they can protect their children from this. Right? They can send them to a private school and they can expose them to this, but they can expose them to 1 million other things that contradict this music. For the most part, our children are exposed to this not because parents are bad, because it's on commercial radio, because it's on TV, because it's selling something, and you can't escape all of that. So, you know, they're not, I don't see them ever changing in that sense. What I want to do is make men aware that men can also fight against this culture, that is not always the woman's issue, right? This is about half of your community, that half of the women in your life that anybody has that's over 18. You have to look, like I tell brothers, if you got at least 10 women in your life at any level, half of them have probably been sexually assaulted. And you might not know it, right? Because not everybody's going to share that. But we have to think about that. That half the women in your life, by the time they're 18, have already been sexually abused or assaulted.
Sad. Wow. Rosa Clemente's on the phone line. You mentioned the rap industrial complex. Can you tell our listener the difference between the rap industrial complex and the hip-hop culture?
Yeah, see, to me, the rap industrial complex, it's those record companies, those media conglomerates, the Viacoms that own the MTV and the BET and the Seagram Records. You know, I tell young people who want to be an artist, you have to learn the business music business. First of all, the music business is dead as anybody knew it 10 years ago, right?
Like, right.
You have very few marquee artists that make money off their records. What they're making money off is their branding, their marketing. And part of this rap industrial complex is to look at the system that then commodifies things to be packaged, bought, and sold, right? And you can't necessarily, there's no way they're going to ever figure out, can you necessarily package and sell all of hip-hop culture. But you could take the element that is the most known, the most talked about, which is that first element, the MC, the musician, or as some, I like to say, some rappers, the recorded artists who are, paid to perform in a studio, and a whole career is built out of mostly disempowering music. So, you know, when you have such small numbers of people controlling such a big industry, and you can probably count them on your hand, like the 5 to 10 men that really run, as people say, or, you know, as Jay-Z would say, really run this.
Right.
And I won't use the curse word.
Right.
Then you understand that there are artists out there who are making incredible music. They get into a room, and the executives, and I've been in these rooms with amazing hip-hop artists, and the executive is saying, wait, can you use the word B and hoes a little bit more? Can you get... can you not talk about, you know, the Black Panthers? Can you talk about drugging? Oh, you never did drugs? Well, let's create an image for you. Hmm. Can you not put that on your album? And can you put this on your album? Well, you're not using the N-word enough. I mean, I've been in these rooms where executives are saying this to artists, and you're like, wait a minute.
Wow.
So what then happens, especially when a 16-year-old, mostly young Black or Latino man who is an artist, starts to blow up, gets in a room, and the executive is saying, if you do this, we got you. But if you choose to rhyme about this, you can't get a record deal here.
Wow.
I mean, what 16-year-old is going to be like, yeah, let me turn down that contract and stay on some positive? Some have, but the point is that the industry is pushing them, again, to market and sell and rhyme about things, even to the point where we know there are artists who have never been in the hood, who have never sold drugs and have made a whole career out of living in the hood and selling drugs when they've gone to prep school.
Wow.
And it's like, why can't he run about going to prep school?
Right.
Just like, why can't the brother who was the gangster drug dealer and changed that rhyme about that as well? That is his reality.
Right.
Well, prep school is your reality, and we need both of that to talk about the conditions that, you know, are pervasive in our community, whether it's drug dealing or going to school, whether it is unfortunately gang banging or working three jobs to support your family. But those things that would uplift us, why would a system that chooses to always see us as inhumane and denigrate us allow that on the airwaves? It would literally change the minds of people overnight.
Right, right, right. What, do you think the public would buy it if they came out with that good conscious content to add a little balance? You think the public support it?
Yeah, and I've been with program directors that have said, well, they won't buy it. Right, because you're not putting it on rotation. I'm sure if you put Talib or Invincible on rotation 25 times a day, people would buy it. And either way, you know, people are really not buying music. And, you know, I think you guys probably know this way better than I do, but because the industry has changed so much, the actual business of buying music is not a huge business, or there's a big fallacy that mostly white people consume hip-hop, and really you have to look at how they consume hip-hop in versus how our communities consume hip-hop, which is usually, at least back in the day, you would buy the album and you're sharing it with everybody else. And we know how sound scanners kind of messed up in the way it counts how music is sold and bought. So yes, if the music was out there, it's not just about buying it, people would support that.
Right.
See, and my whole thing is like, you want to dance to Lil Wayne, you're over 18, you have a right to do that. We have a right to go up in the club. We have a right, as well as the artists have their right to be contradictory, to be up in the club and be like, all right, the beat is good, I'm thinking. But we're, you know, adults should be able to make that decision. When you're pushing this stuff on kids, like, it's almost a drug to get them addicted.
Wow.
Then that's a big problem, and that's what we're facing.
Right.
Well, Rosie, where do you think we go here from here?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I'm a longtime organizer and activist, so I know how these things go, and especially in these news cycles, right? But I think it has to be about how we can use this as a moment to educate our young boys, right? And I mean young boys. I mean 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, not 18. Because once kids are in college or have graduated high school and are in that 18 to 25-year-old, this is when a lot of these assaults tend to happen at parties, at gatherings. How do we teach young boys? When you, like they do in New York, you see something, not only do you say something, you're at a party and you see something going down and a girl is passed out or she's drugged or you think something's about to happen, you have a responsibility to step in. If you're rolling with a crew, you have a responsibility, and we have to teach young people that you intervene in behavior like that. You don't let that go down, and you certainly don't take pictures of it happening like happened in Steubenville, Ohio, you know?
Right.
So for me, it's a teaching moment because, again, I don't ever believe the music industry is going to do the right thing. Although I believe that if we put fire to them, this may not happen again. But like I said, I've been doing this for a long time, and I think liberation and the work of social justice is something you do every day and you don't fully see the results, but that you keep pushing and trying to break this down. And I think, again, Rick Ross, for some reason, has been the tipping point, and I really appreciate that. And that young people are emailing me, asking me what they could do in their high schools, to me, that's the best thing that we can have coming out of this.
Wow. Rosie Clemente.
Now, he should apologize, though. If he does you know, I would say to Rick Ross, if his people are listening, not only do you actually really need to apologize like a real person and make amends, on top of your apology, you need to find a couple groups led by women of color in this country doing work against sexual assault, and you need to donate a lot of money to them. And that's the kind of thing that kind of actions I would like to see. you know, because there's so many groups doing amazing work against this.
There's a way that he can gain his consciousness, and we can make this something good can come out of this in the long run if he react the proper way.
I think this is going to continue to kind of go. I don't think people are letting this go. And I was just on a radio show. I was on a TV show earlier with Talib Kweli, and the host said, "Well, will you talk to Rick Ross?" And Talib said, "Yeah, I will talk to Rick Ross." You know, and I think that's one of the things that I was hoping for, that the men, because it's mostly men who are the rappers in the industry, they have access to him. They have to put the pressure on him. But I always believe in people making amends. But I think when you've made that much money, part of you making amends is a financial reparation. And, you know, I'm right. good with that, you know, because I don't view Rick Ross as an evil human being. But I also don't view him as someone stupid. You're a former correctional officer. You know what you were saying. In fact, you didn't lock him up, but you were working in jail where there were people who probably did that locked up. You know, it's
right,
like,
right.
It's just, he's taken it to a whole nother level. And his apology the other day was not an apology, you know, and hopefully he will do the right thing. But if not, maybe we've made it clear enough that this is the breaking point.
Wow. You know. Wow. Rosa Clemente, how can people get in contact with you, your website and your YouTube and your Twitter?
Yeah, well, definitely my YouTube. If people do the Google Rosa Clemente and Rick Ross, the YouTube comes out. That's my channel. Facebook and Twitter, it's Rosa Clemente, Clemente like the baseball player. And I'm pretty accessible, you know, because I really, again, want to have this conversation with young people and also with parents who some of us in hip-hop who have said, I'm done with this culture, maybe not fully understanding the brevity and the beauty of the culture, but also parents who really want to know, well, how do I protect my kids against this, or how do we work on this issue to teach our particularly young boys in my life how not to be caught up? Like, the big thing that I see some women's groups pushing, which I think is great, is trying to say consent is cool, right? Like, you want to be cool? Well, having a woman consent
right.
to have sex, because that's another part of this discussion, that women are sexual beings and we have a right to our sexuality,
right.
but we want it with consent, you right. know? And I think that's something that a young group of women just tweeted me, and they're making T-shirts and that, and I think that's pretty amazing.
Wow. Well, thank you for your hard work for making me aware, because like I say, it was Rosa Clemente that I got this information from, and then talking to Paul Porter Rap Rehab, and it's like, no.
Paul is fantastic.
Yes, yes. Keep up your hard work. I know you working on your doctors, and I know you
work.
Congratulations.
I am working on my doctorate as well. So
wow.
I spent a whole week on this, and I'm really happy, and as an organizer, we keep moving and shaking, but yeah, part of my scholarship is I'm an activist, and part of my activist is that I'm a scholar. And, you know, that's the work I'm doing.
That's what you do. So you're gonna get that doctor's. We know that.
Yeah, I told everybody I gave Rick Ross 1 week of my life. Now I got to get back to school for the next month.
Right. All right, my friend. It's always good to talk to you. We're going to keep in contact, and we're going to have you back
yes.
on and continue to do what you do. We love you, Rosie. You are.
Well, thank you for your station. I mean, to be the only station to do that, you know, I hope so many other program directors and managers and DJs really take you brothers up on your leadership. I see you as leaders as well, and thank you for doing that. That's a big thing to happen. And historically, when we write about this in the future, you'll be in the books as well, right?
Wow.
So thank you.
Thank you. Wow. I didn't expect that. Thank you, Rosie. God bless you, okay?
Okay, thank you, brother. Thanks for having me on.
All right, take care. There you go. Rosa Clemente, hip-hop activist, Green Party Vice President, Big Rob,
mm-hmm.
along with Cynthia McKinney, who ran for president in 2008. Coming up next, spokesperson for the Emmett Till family. We're going to be talking to them next. Inside the Driving Five, Pete Rock and CL Smooth. We're going to take you there, Rob.
Take them there, dude.
We're going to take them there, man. I love this old school hip-hop.
It's the Drive at Five. 103.7 The Beat. 103.7 The Beat. Let them know we in the house. CL hit them off with the verses. Never judge.
judge a book by the cover. Discover the soul brother with the mechadon, working brunette to blonde. I'm in the Edison con when I respond in full black. What us